Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
But imagine this. Can you imagine 90 miles from where you live right now? Maybe a city nearby. Maybe it's a store close by. Maybe it's a country nearby. Do you know Cuba is 90 miles off the coast of America, Florida? And our president has opened up relations with Cuba. Did you know that right on the other side of the border of Israel, you have our president has enabled Iran to be able to have, obviously on the border, but close within missile range, to have nuclear capabilities, to potentially have nuclear weapons in the future. Our president is the one that pushed that. The Syria and the troubles that are happening there, our president was involved in helping push that. And in regards to Iraq and how we pulled out of Iraq and all of our weapons went into the hands of ISIS reportedly, and now they're using it to do what they're doing around the Middle East and the nation. What is our president doing? We're going to talk about that today, but we first have to understand, why is our president so connected with the United Nations? He keeps on talking about, you know, we got to take it to the United Nations. United Nations needs to be where it is. It's the United Nations where he talks about the future does not belong to those who speak negatively about the prophet of Islam. And it's like, and we're finding things are unfolding. There's something very specifically that happened. Think about this. If you have a whole bunch of friends and you say you have 20 friends and they're actually the ones that are going to vote for the direction of your business or your country, you would say, well, let's just take it to my friends and let them vote on it. Well, guess what? The United Nations has a whole bunch of friends. Remember the president said, I consider it my job to defend Islam from every negative stereotype that comes against it, no matter where it is in the world. That was his first international speech in Cairo. Well, think about this. Inside the United Nations, the number of countries that vote, the majority of them are Muslim nations. They're from Islamic nations. So when you carry things to the United Nations, it's going to be for Islam. It's going to be against Judaism, it's against the Jews, against Israel, and it's going to be against Christians. That's why you're beginning to see these things. But first, let's go back and take a look at how the makeup, how they designed it, and how specific Cuba is to this whole thing, because it began in 1975, this thing called the Unstoppable Voting Bloc. Let's take a look.
No matter how you feel about the United Nations, it's the one place on planet Earth where nations get together and attempt to speak with one voice. That's why their resolutions can make a big difference. Quick history lesson. In 1975, Cuba needed to gather support in order to take down the biggest democratic superpower dominating the global schoolyard, the United States. Seeing how the UN was mostly controlled by the democratic superpowers, Cuba, along with other communist nations, finally found a way to even the playing field. Because it just so happened that, at the same time, a number of Muslim countries were looking for new, creative ways to gang up on Israel. So the communists realized that by joining the Muslims' anti-Israel coalition, they could create an unstoppable voting bloc inside the UN. Because with every resolution they passed against Israel, they simultaneously discredited Israel's ally, the United States. So in 1975, the newfound communist Muslim voting bloc spearheaded the passing of a UN resolution that officially stated, Zionism is a form of racism. Yes, Zionism. The movement trying to find ways to protect Jews from racism was redefined as racism, which is kind of like saying the civil rights movement is racism and Martin Luther King is a racist. This is why resolution after resolution after resolution against Israel from 1975 until this day easily passes through the UN.
The UN is set up as an adversarial body against Israel. Remember when the DNC met and they talked about they wanted to have Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and they began to boo? The pastor brought up the particular platform issue, and they booed God. They booed the fact that that's going on. They're booing Israel. And now our president, who's over the Democratic National Party as the president, was sitting here talking specifically now about the United Nations. The United Nations has an unstoppable voting bloc. In other words, if you took ice cream to the United Nations, it'll come out with a majority of people who vote. It would be vote, hey, that's Islamic vote. I mean, if you got 80 Muslim nations and only 20 of them out of 100, and 80 of those guys are Muslim, it's always going to come the way of Islam. which is that's all right. But understand, we don't want to take America's sovereignty to a place who is against America and against Israel. But guess what our president just said at the United Nations? He said we should actually give up some of our freedoms and submit to foreign laws because this is for our security. Take a look at what the President Obama just said at the United Nations.
But I am convinced that in the long run, giving up some freedom of action, binding ourselves to international rules, over the long term enhances our security.
I can't even make this up. I mean, think about it. Sovereignty. We are a nation. When you talk about borders and you have our president and some of the candidates that are running for office, they're saying we need to be a borderless society. We need to have a hemisphere that is free trade, that there is basically no Canada, no North America, no Central America, no Mexico, no South America, just some sort of Amero type thing or something. And you're thinking, you know, what is going on? You don't want to give up your sovereignty when the borders are just being bleeding over through by illegal immigrants coming over the border. Not legal immigrants, because we're all, you know, immigrants, but illegal, where they're breaking the law and our president's just supporting it and some of the administration's supporting it, some of the candidates are supporting it. What's going to happen? Now they're saying, listen, you don't even need a country, America. Just submit to the one world government. Just submit to the United Nations. Do you know biblically that actually makes a lot of sense in prophecy that that's how it's going to be? We're not there now. But we're on our way. If we don't wake up, we're going to lose our sovereignty. We're sharing these things that take place so you actually are informed of what's going on, not to create fear in you. But we need to know what's going on. He said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We still have the right to vote in America over values and issues and what's going on. As a matter of fact, there's a vote coming up pretty soon. Mm-hmm. And can you believe that? I mean, I want to hear that 27:25 one more time and listen to what the president said. Just said at the United Nations, he's talking about giving away our sovereignty. Watch this.
But I am convinced that in the long run, giving up some freedom of action, binding ourselves to international rules, over the long term enhances our security.
Our president, who considers it his job to defend Islam from every negative stereotype, there's 1.3 supposed Muslims in the world. He spoke at Cairo University, and you know anybody has a right to believe whatever they want to believe, but the President of the United States doesn't turn over our sovereignty to other mm-hmm. kings, other presidents of the United Nations. He's talking about turning over our freedoms. Giving up some freedoms will help us be safe. And it's like, my goodness, we need to wake up. We need to wake up, and this is taking place. And everybody's just thinking that it's business as usual. He's talking about giving over our freedoms. And then he says, you know, binding ourselves to international rules is something that protects us. You have to understand sovereignty, that we have a constitution. Our constitution is the United States Constitution. You've been watching, we've been talking about it, that, you know, they've been speaking against the Constitution, that he even said, and others have said, it's an outdated document, that it's a form of negative rights, and we need to change. They're talking about, you know, belittling our Constitution, while our Constitution is like the aquarium for a fish tank. Without it, we don't have a country. You're seeing them promote the pouring of people over our borders. Without borders, we don't have a nation. And you're seeing Islam being used as a narrative. There's only 3 million Muslims in America. Islam's not an issue in America, but it's being used in some sort of rules for radical Saul Alinsky methodology to have some militant effort to be able to organize a nation. If you haven't yet heard the broadcast that we had, you need to hear it talking about children of the light, organizers of the light versus organizers of the day, because the whole world is being organized right now. I'm not putting fear in him. It is being organized, and they're using Lucifer tactics to be able to organize the world, and the church is not really aware of what's really going on. And we have to be responsive. You know, during the days of Bonhoeffer, when he was in Germany, you know, he was specifically trying to tell the church, and the church didn't listen. And out of that, of course, Hitler and the persecution of the unwanteds and the Jews and the Christians who were really Christian, as Hitler replaced the Bible, mm-hmm. put Mein Kampf into the churches, and the church, as you see in the intro, that's the Church of Russia kissing the hand of Putin. That's exactly what has always happened in the past, with the where somebody who professes to be followers of God end up following man, and they forego God, and God begins to discipline a nation, discipline a people. That's a big deal. It's a big deal when our president says we want to be able to surrender the freedoms of our country. It doesn't bring us make us safer. When we're compared to another country, think about this. When we're compared to another country, think about the size of our country. I mean, when you're comparing a 5-year-old with a 60-year-old, that's a big comparison. But when you're talking about a country of 80 million folks, and you're comparing it with America, which has over 300 million folks, an economy 10 times the size of that nation, but yet they try to tell you, you know, you need to be like Russia, or you need to be like China, or you need to be like Europe, or you need to be like, you know, these other countries. And it's like, we're just been a blessed country. We have a responsibility to maintain that freedom for the nation. I mean, China says if America goes dark, if we surrender our freedoms, we surrender our fundamental principles, it'll be a gross, gross darkness that happens in the earth. I mean, you're talking about the dark ages. And so our president is saying at the United Nations, the same platform that he said specifically that the future does not belong to those who speak against the prophet of Islam, which is Muhammad, that's who that is. And now he's saying, now we need to surrender over our sovereignty to a foreign body, to the United Nations. It's almost like this, and remember these words, it's almost like our president, the president of the United States, is running for the president of the world. It's almost like he's running for the president of the United Nations. Do you know that the United Nations has a president? And mark my word, you know, people want to be things, it doesn't mean it's going to happen. But something inside my spirit says that somebody wants to be president of the world. And things, I mean, you turn over the sovereignty of the largest, most freest, wealthiest country to the United Nations, and the United Nations would be over. You heard his words. This is not a conspiracy thing. He just said this. As a matter of fact, take a look at this. He's specifically talking about the internet, turning the internet over, signed it over 2 years ago when he gave a speech that we'll show you earlier. We will show you it later on. But understand, he giving the internet over to a foreign body. Our freedoms, the internet, what is the internet? Freedom of speech is the First Amendment. The First and the Second Amendment. We lose those two things, we lose everything. Everything. Take a look at this.
Efforts underway tonight here in Washington to stop what some fear is the beginning of the end of a free and open internet. Are those worries legitimate or overreactions? Here's Chief Washington Correspondent James Rosen on the president's plan to what some are describing relinquish American control of something you probably use every day.
America built the internet, and we shouldn't be giving it away to our enemies.
In a new web video, a Senate floor speech and legislation, and now a Judiciary Subcommittee hearing Texas Senator Ted Cruz is taking on as his first public policy issue since losing the GOP nomination, a looming transfer of authority involving the World Wide Web. On October 1st, under a plan in place for 2 decades, the Commerce Department will cease to exercise contractual control over a Los Angeles-based nonprofit called the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, or ICANN, the entity that approves the .coms, .gov, and other internet domain names. Instead, ICANN will be governed by a group of so-called global stakeholders. Republicans claim authoritarian regimes will be able to censor the internet.
If this transition goes forward, would the United States government have any greater ability to defend its position than would Russia or China or Iran?
The important point to take away from the Government Advisory Committee is that for it to render advice that has any force with the board, it has to be consensus advice, meaning it has to be advice to which no government objects.
You think about this. You have a cabinet company. You built your company in America, and our president is saying, listen, we want to give your cabinet company over to the United Nations, to foreign entities. I mean, you would think, are we in America still? Well, the internet was created and brought to the place that it is in America. ICANN is a corporation in America. And he signed it over on October the 1st. Well, it was 2 years ago he did it. They just signed it over and they wait some time to go. The thing's been around for a while and they do it. They just voted. We had it on VFN TV and we showed it to you. and people didn't pay much attention to it. But they made the internet a utility. They said, we're not going to tax it, we're going to make a utility. But guess what's coming? A tax is coming. And whatever you tax, you control. The ability to tax is the ability to control and destroy. So just like your power and your water are utilities, roads, for example, are utilities, they voted in sometime back during this administration. It was a big deal. They just pushed it through, too. It was a big deal, a quiet deal for everyone else. But now it's a utility, which means at any moment, just like 2 years later, they're going, we're going to give ICANN, this part of the internet, away to foreign countries. But it makes sense when you think about it, because our president is saying, I really think we should give away some of our freedoms because this will make us safer. I mean, it's sort of like saying, you know, when you're in the Marines and you're out there fighting the war, Steve, that says, you know, I really think you should give your body armor away. If you give your body armor away...
Well, it doesn't make much sense.
Wouldn't you be much safer?
No, that actually contradicts the entire statement by doing that.
We're being turned over, America. As a matter of fact, listen to Senator Ted Cruz talk specifically about what's going to happen if the freedom of speech is being taken down. Take a look.
Today, our country faces a threat to the internet as we know it.
Republican lawmakers are trying to stop the White House from handing over U.S. oversight of the internet.
Conservatives in the Congress are opposed to this.
The Obama administration intends to give away control of the internet to an international body akin to the United Nations.
Several Republican lawmakers are putting up a fight.
That the internet embodies the American idea of free speech. That very idea of free speech in the internet is under attack because the administration wants to see the core functions of the internet be transferred to a foreign body that doesn't share our idea of free speech.
Do we want China and Russia and Iran having the power to determine if a website is unacceptable, it's taken down?
We cannot allow control for Russia or China over U.S. free speech.
I will make certain that the Department of Commerce follows the law and we do not surrender control of the internet to some undefined international body.
And I urge my colleagues on both sides of the aisle to come together, to stand together and ensure that we protect freedom of the internet for generations to come. As President Ronald Reagan stated, freedom is never more than one generation from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States when men were free.
This is amazing. Is it not amazing? It is so amazing to see what's taking place. Thank God for Senator Ted Cruz, who's standing up and of course, making this plea for it not to happen. Although attorney general stood up and they began to sue the government saying, listen, stop. Mm-hmm. They did it anyway. Why? Because they have a goal of surrendering our freedoms over to the United Nations or not the nations. And this is, when we get back from this break, we're going to talk more about it as Senator Ted Cruz is at the Heritage Foundation explaining what it means to give up the internet. It's a freedom of speech. I mean, think about it. Even if you say, I don't want anything to do with the internet. When you call somebody up and say, "Don't know, I'm not going to go on the internet. I'm not going to be able to put my information on the internet." Well, so when you talk to them on the telephone, or you fax them something, or you walk into their office, when you leave, they take your information and they enter it on the internet. I mean, that's kind of how this thing works. And so you might not put yourself on the internet, but they put you. They're putting everything about everybody on this internet and giving it away to a foreign country. I mean, think about it. And we're just doing away with our First Amendment rights, which means we have the right to be able to speak freely. Russia made it illegal just this year to be able to speak about faith at all. I mean, think about that. Imagine having to get a permission from someone to be able to invite somebody to your church. That's how it is right now in Russia. And the church is bowing down to the leader. This is the leader that our president says, I'll have more flexibility after the election. And the president says, I'll transmit that to Vladimir, mm-hmm. right? So, oh my goodness. We are going to go to the Heritage Organization, the foundation. We're watching Senator Ted Cruz explain specifically what it means, what our president just did. When you see the president saying, I think we should surrender some of our freedoms over to international bodies That's always the UN. Remember, the UN has an unstoppable voting bloc. The majority of people that are going to vote, the nations that are going to vote, are not only sympathetic to Islam, they're Islamic. And you look at this big radical push. Why? America only has 3 million Muslims out of 300 plus million folks. And we, you know, we welcome everybody that comes to America if you abide by the laws and you abide by the Constitution and recognize that this foundation, this country, is a Judeo-Christian foundation. We'll talk more about that in the future. But there's a Constitution, in the United States Constitution, which I have it over here. This Constitution says specifically in the First and the Second Amendment, which is called the Bill of Rights, the first 10. The first one is the right to be able to do what we're doing right now. Understand this. A lot of information you're getting over the press, like VFN TV, without the First Amendment, this is over. This doesn't happen. I mean, come and meet me and I'll scratch something out on a stone tablet and you can tote that thing somewhere, but you're not going to have this. But they want to take it away. And when you give away the freedom of speech, I mean, look at the media. It's amazing, the media biased. It is just shocking to watch, you know, grown media sit there and say, we're picking a candidate and we're going to support this one candidate in the presidential race, which means all their media coverage is against the other particular candidates. And it's like, that's not freedom of the press. The moment the press is not free, we're not free anymore. And we're at this critical moment. But listen to Senator Ted Cruz as he explains, what does it mean by what our president did in giving away the internet? Now, he is actually explaining before it happened, a few days before it happened, but now it actually has happened, October 1st. And let's listen to Senator Ted Cruz now at the Heritage Foundation.
And when it comes to free speech, you know, it wasn't too long ago that speech was controlled by a handful of TV networks. A handful of newspapers, the gatekeepers, they decided what was news. They decided all the news that's fit to print. And if it so happens that they didn't think it was fit to print, that it was inconsistent with their political views, then it didn't get said. The internet is now a place where any one of us can go online and say darn near anything. And I got to admit, I've read some crazy things on the internet. But it's an amazing ability that takes power out of the entrenched elites and brings it to the people. You know, it wasn't that many years ago that Dan Rather was a respected network news anchor until a bunch of bloggers in pajamas began fact-checking his stories and took down one of the biggest names in news. That could never have happened prior to the internet. That ability to research, to communicate, to get a voice out, to expand virally could never have happened prior to the internet. Now, what do we also know? We also know that whenever there is an oasis of freedom, as surely as night follows day, there will be government regulators who want to get their grubby little mitts on it. That is the nature of government power. To want to control, to tax, to regulate, to make sure that freedom needs the prior approval of government. Right now, the Obama administration's proposal to give away the internet is an extraordinary threat to our freedom, and it's one that most Americans don't know anything about. It is scheduled to go into effect September 30th, 2016. We are not far away. From the very first days of the internet, the United States government has maintained its core functions to ensure equal access for everyone with no censorship. So that when you type in a website, it actually goes to that website. Now, the government doesn't monitor who says what. It doesn't prevent people from saying what they might believe, but it ensures when you type in a website, it actually goes to that website and not somewhere else. And yet, that can change. The Obama administration is pushing through a radical proposal to take control of internet domains and instead give it to an international organization, ICON, that includes 162 foreign countries. And that means, as a necessary result, if that proposal goes through, that will empower countries like Russia, like China, like Iran, to be able to censor speech on the internet. These are not our friends. You know, the United States has the First Amendment, an incredible blessing that protects the right of everyone to speak their mind, even if they're wrong, and I would say especially if they're wrong. You know, the First Amendment is not about popular speech. The First Amendment's about unpopular speech. The First Amendment is about offensive speech. That's what it was created for. Look, you don't need a First Amendment if nobody is offended at what you're saying. It is only when someone says, I am offended and would silence you, that's the only time the First Amendment matters. When there are those seeking to use government power to muzzle opinions that frighten them, opinions that threaten their power. I'm very much of the school of John Stuart Mill, that the best cure for bad speech is more speech. But a lot of countries don't share those views. Imagine searching the internet, and instead of seeing your standard search results, you see a disclaimer that the information you were searching for was censored. If you're in China, that situation could well come with the threat of arrest for how dare searching for such a thing. But thankfully, that's not yet happening in America. This transfer from the Obama administration, this radical proposal, could lead to that threat. And Congress has yet to step in and affirmatively stop this.
Think about it. Think about it.
Yeah.
This is what was just signed over on October 1st. This is serious. We're like in the throes of this thing. And this is what we've seen. We've seen so many movies. America's seen so many movies. Everybody don't know whether they're in a movie or if it's real. There's one particular IBM executive who was over in a foreign country, and she was being a tourist, to obviously taking a look at everything. And then her bus gets kidnapped. They take her and the other members of the bus hostage, and she says, you know, I didn't know whether it was in a movie or not. It took her for a while to realize that this is, and we don't even know what reality, we've seen so many things that are not real. We have seen so many actors who are not really, they're not that character. They're reading from a script. That when somebody comes up and they really are a terrorist, when a king rises up and really threatens a nation, people are like, nah, that reminds me of a movie or a TV show or something I saw. It's like, this is really happening. This is really happening. And all these things considering, why does our president keep pushing everything to the United Nations? Because he is, for some reason, you know, and he has this, if he desires to, that he can do that, but you don't throw America in with the whole thing. You know, you just say, okay, I'm going to finish up my presidency here, and I'll leave America whole. I will not tear down its borders. I will not do away with its constitution, and I'll go run for president of the United Nations. You think about that. But instead, turning our nation over to the United Nations, and not only that, when he was in Israel speaking at the university to the college students, there's this great speech talking about the Palestinian state and Iran. But at the very end of it, he says, but we will not allow unilateral action to come in and to be able to undo what he talks about, what these others are doing, the parties involved. What he's really saying with all those words, we had to study that speech to look at it. He's saying, we're not going to go around the United Nations. You are not going to go around the United Nations. Well, we know to go to the United Nations, it's always going to be Islamic push. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, you know, in alignment with the Quran and what the Quran says very specifically. It says specifically that to push Israel, you know, to convert to Islam, to become a slave, a servitude of Islam and pay a tribute, or to smite the neck of the unbeliever. You know, some of the writings, like, you know, push the Jews into the sea. You see presidents, the president of Iran openly saying, and the mullah saying, you know, destroy Iran. They have books they're writing on destroying Iran and destroying Israel and doing away with them.
Chanting death to Israel.
Death to Israel. And our president saying, take things to Iran, let Iran be the power in the Middle East. You know, let the United Nations determine that out when it has an unstoppable voting block of Muslims in there. They're going to vote against Israel, as we saw. Well, look what he said at that speech. He talked about, you will not go around the United Nations, is what he's saying to them. And he said, and America will not let you go around the United Nations. It used to be the other way around. We used to say, we're not going to let the United Nations push you around. America will back up. The United Nations not taking that thing over. It's flipped over. As a matter of fact, watch this. Is this President Obama in 2013, March 21st, 2013, in Israel, and he's speaking to the university students there, and listen to what he says about where you take it.
There is no question that Israel has faced Palestinian factions who turned to terror, leaders who missed historic opportunities. That is all true. And that's why security must be at the center of any agreement. And there is no question that the only path to peace is through negotiations, which is why, despite the criticism we've received, the United States will oppose unilateral efforts to bypass negotiations through the United Nations. It has to be done by the parties.
It has to be done by the parties. I'm like, come on, what are you talking about? That's not our sovereignty. We're not supposed to turn over who we are as a nation. This is the beginning stages. And if you didn't hear earlier on a previous program, you've got to catch it. All of God's people, all we have to do is just wake up. We got to turn to God and say, God, you know, hey, we're wrong. You're right. It doesn't matter what men of the world want to do, what kings of the world want to do. You are king of all kings and you're lord of all lords. Realize there's no power that the adversary has unless God allowed him or her to have it. We have to understand, what is God saying to us? And he's saying very specifically that if and the force of what you're seeing and the intensity of what you're seeing, we have a lot more to share with you. It's going to continue until we do one simple thing. And it has nothing to do with anybody who don't want anything to do with God. It has nothing to do with people who don't claim Jesus as the Son of God. It has to do with those who call themselves a Christian, a Christ follower. He says, if my people who are called by my name, not Americans, not Mexicans, not Brazilians, not Venezuelans, understands this. He's saying, if my people who are called by my name, and there's people of God all in every country, we'll humble ourselves. Humility is defined as total dependency on God and respect for other people. I mean, look at some of the political arguments that are going on. It's so disrespectful and so against authority and the things that are going on. It's like, what's taking place? Humility is a total dependency on God and respect for other people. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. So there's three things. You know, we got to turn from our wicked ways, we got to humble ourselves, and we got to begin a conversation again with God on a daily basis, live in our lives. It's what we're supposed to do, talk to Him. You know, and it's the most unpraying probably generation has been for, I don't know, you know, that I'm aware of. And you think about this. If we'll do that, He says, you know what? I'll hear from heaven. I'll hear. And all this craziness where you're looking at your whole country being thrown over to a few folks in some unstoppable voting block in the United Nations, a little small country off the coast of Florida, 90 miles off the coast of Florida, that our president is opening up what began in 1975 when they came together, when the communism came in with Islam, when the communists came with the Islamists and they came together. Our own president's mentor reportedly is a communist man. I mean, they embrace it's a form of government. But understand this, America is not a communist nation yet. And socialism is nothing but a ride to communism. It's a short trip. But we don't have a lot of time to be able to make sure you join us in the next program, because we're going to show you very specifically how all these things come together and share with you that prophetic word, because God has shown some of us specifically Cuban and Russian aircraft in America's skies. You make sure you join us. First, I want to be able to pray for you. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to be able to come, Lord, before you. And we just thank you for letting us know. You said, you know, you'll tell us what's happening. You will encourage us. You will direct us that we can just follow your lead. You know, and I just thank you, Lord, that 1,000 fall at one right hand and 10,000 at our left hand. You said that it won't come near those that are yours, Father God. And I just pray right now for an awakening to take place. And those that are listening and watching, Lord God, we thank you that you are Lord of all, King of all, and your way is the right way, Father God. And even in the midst of these times, God, we know that you are greater than the darkness. The light is always greater than darkness, Father God. We thank you for the great harvest, God. As a matter of fact, we even ask you, Lord, that you would send, Father God, a third great awakening. You would send revival, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. Don't forget, you can find out more at VFNTV.com, and we will finish this up in our next program, part two.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFNTV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFNTV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.